Now I'll read today's Bible passage. From the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 9 through 23. The recitation today will be verses 9 through 16. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of the Lord." So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up your precious name. Today, Lord, we have the opportunity to come before you once again. And we're very appreciative of that opportunity. Dear Lord, we know that you are always with us. And you are always aware of all our needs and fulfill them. You also, Lord, protect us from bad things, and we are thankful for that as well. We ask that this year too, Lord, you will allow us to be always looking up to you and connected with you. And through prayer, Lord, we ask that you will give us various types of wisdom. Please provide us with guidance. We're about to hear a message from Pastor Joey Anjiki today, and we're very excited about that. Allow us, Lord, to be able to understand the message sufficiently and to be able to apply it in our daily lives. With gratitude, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello, everyone. Today, we're going to be looking once again at David's life. It's likely amongst some of you here today, there are some of you who are dog lovers. In the entrance here at the church, there's also like we have dog Bible verses and things. And dogs are really part of people's families. As for myself, we had a dog named Chris. And if you say in Japanese, Chan, after it, it becomes Chris-Chan, or like Christian. And so that's why we had that name. This is my father's sense for naming animals. As for me and myself, Chris was always against me. I'd like look at him and he'd bark at me and I'd bark back at him. And it was just kind of a rivalry relationship. But occasionally he would always like be really nice to me. He'd come, you know, snuggle up to my face and I felt that he really actually liked me sometimes. However, I realized that Chris was coming to me at such times after a certain thing happened. And that was after Chris finished eating his dinner. So he would get his, he would face all different, all full of dog food and then come wipe it on my me. So I was like being his towel. And so if a dog that never is nice to you and then all of a sudden suddenly is, you might want to wonder about it. Anyway, this was my understanding about the dog that we had. It's likely that though in you, in your daily lives, there's all kinds of different misunderstandings that you may have as well. And for Christians, there are some misunderstandings. And one of them that is a common topic is that of the topic of worship. Today, once again, we're looking at David's life and we're looking at him as a worshiper with a topic of his dancing. First, let's look a little bit at the background of today's passage. After Saul's realm came to an end, David became the king of Israel. And after a period of years, he was able to recapture Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Lord, is being brought there. However, when Uzzah was carrying it, there was the incident that happened when he was killed. Today, we're seeing once again what today's topic of David's dancing with 3 points. The first point today is about how worship means to offer something. When Uzzah was killed for carrying the ark, it says that David was afraid of the Lord. And so why is it that David was afraid? Well, it's because he didn't understand why Uzzah was killed for carrying the ark in the way he had. It's likely David was distraught over this because he was trying to get the Ark of Covenant there, but then God struck Uzzah. He was possibly concerned that God had left him, or there was some other instance that was a problem. For a period of 3 years, though, it says that this Ark of the Covenant was put in the house of Obed-Edom. And in the house of Obed-Edom, it explains exactly what happened there. Was it disasters? No, actually, it was blessing that came upon that household, the entire household. When David heard about this, he actually gained a lot of confidence and courage. He realized that God hadn't left him and hadn't left Israel. So why is it that Uzzah was struck by God? As David was thinking about this, he actually looked through the Bible and he found exactly that Uzzah had not carried the Ark of the Lord in the correct manner that God had prescribed. And so he was able to figure out the reason. Actually, in 1 Chronicles 15:2, it says, "Then David said, 'No one but the Levites may carry the ark of the God, because the Lord chose them to carry the ark of the Lord and to minister before him forever.'" So David found this passage and information in the Bible and found out that that's what the issue was. David repented because of this. He really thought about what it means to worship God and came to a better understanding of it. Once again, he tried to help take the ark to Jerusalem. This time, he used the correct method that God prescribed to do so. And they used the Levites to help haul it. And they used these poles in order to carry it instead of trying to roll it around. And David also did something that he hadn't done the time before. And it's written in today's passage in verse 13. It says, "When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf." So they walked 6 steps and then they had to sacrifice. You would think, wow, this is kind of a very difficult way to move forward if you're just going 6 steps at a time. But you can see how David realized that giving God the best and the first, it was something that is important. If we can think about this from David's perspective, we can realize that as for ourselves, we come weekly to worship God. What is the purpose that you come here to worship? Well, there may be various purposes. You want to meet up with friends and to spend time with them. That could be one reason you come here. However, the best or the highest reason why we come here to worship is to worship God. That is why we are here. If you're looking at Romans 12:1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." In other words, when you're worshiping God, we are to worship Him with our entire being, giving Him our lives, our time, everything we have. And this God is the one who's created everything, and we can recognize and worship Him and proclaim it Him as we worship Him. That is why we actually come here. That's the highest or most important point of why. In other words, if you're thinking of this like as going to see a play or something, we are not just the people out of the audience, but rather we're the actual performers. And God is the one who is watching us. He is the one who is watching us worship Him. After worship service, sometimes people say, "Oh, today was a good service," or "today wasn't," or whatever. But it's that perspective is actually focused on yourself and what you think you got out of it. However, when you are done with a worship service, the proper question to ask would be, was God happy with how I worshiped Him today? Was it pleasing to Him? Was God satisfied by how I worshiped Him? God is the one who looks at our hearts, and He can be very pleased when He sees that we are truly worshiping Him in a way that honors and glorifies Him. So let's have our goal to be people like that. We can learn that from David in his passage today. The second point today is about how David stood before God, just how he was. The Ark of the Covenant was what was being brought forward. And let's look at verse 14 regarding that. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. So David at this time was wearing just the clothing of a common people at that time, a linen ephod. And looking upon this, there was a person who supposedly despised him, it says in verse 16. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. When she saw the king David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. This was actually one of his wives. And after seeing this, she said something kind of ironic. He said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. In other words, Michal was wondering why he was acting like as a normal person rather than king. It says Michal says that he was naked, but actually he had this linen ephod on. But that probably just is inferring to he didn't have his regular king attire on, and that whether it was just the clothing of regular people in those days. And so she was offended that he was, in a sense, taking off his kingship to just be a regular person. From Michal, the perspective of what a king was should have been somebody way higher than regular people. And for that, having that image, it was because she would have learned that from her father, Saul. Michal didn't see that David was being sufficient as a king in that sense. It's possible that Michal was greatly impacted by her father, King Saul. And we can actually learn from her, in a sense. When some people are thinking about Michal, you can see that she is actually referred to as Saul's daughter. And so you can, from that, you can understand how she must have truly been impacted by her father Saul. David, in response, in verse 21 says, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me a ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord." So David just says, well, I don't know why God chose me over your father, but that's what happened. And so because of that, I'm going to celebrate the Lord. And it's not my position to be someone other than myself before the Lord. Verse 22, "I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes." So David here is saying that he is not focused on raising himself up, but rather being humble before the Lord. And that's what he was trying to do. Through this, David and Michal's husband and wife relationship just totally broke. And then it says that she had no children to the end of her days. And this is just indicating that their relationship was basically over as husband and wife. We can learn from David in this situation how he was wearing the clothing of a normal people at that time and just worshiping God as just a regular person. He wasn't worshiping God because he was king and because he thought he was somebody higher than others. We can see that David was dancing with all his might. And if you look at the exact translation of this, it isn't just like he was moving his body around. It actually indicates that he was like spinning around and like jumping and just really moving in a dramatic way. If you are able to just forget anything about what other people think of you or your position that you may have in the world and just glorify God as yourself with maybe tears in your eyes and so on, then maybe that's something that would allow you to see God in a new way. In today's society, it's kind of like a taboo to outwardly show your feelings or emotions. People who have, you know, strong emotions and feelings and lots of ups and downs are actually looked down upon and not supported for many different leadership positions. People who get very angry also are seen as not being good people to be around. People who are always crying or upset around others are also sometimes looked down upon for showing their emotions in that way. So in today's society, not showing feelings and emotions is preferred. There was one candidate for an election in a country a number of years ago who cried out during the election race, and because of that, actually his support just totally dropped. Without being able to show our emotions to other people, that shouldn't impact how we can show our emotions to God. In Russia, there is a kind of folk art that's called the Matryoshka dolls, and it has like a wooden doll inside of another doll inside of another doll, and they just get smaller, and it's just, there's one that's about the size of a piece of rice in the tiniest size. Before God, sometimes we put our different emotions and hide them in shells before God. And we're worried about what other people or the world thinks of us. And sometimes we try to hide ourselves in the same way from God. If he doesn't answer our prayers or doesn't open doors as we think he should, sometimes our relationship with God can seemingly have these shells upon us and different layers upon us. However, God wants to see us as our true selves. He wants us to be freed of other people's opinions. He wants to see us just as we are. As for myself, I don't know about regular fathers, but as for myself, I just want to go home immediately when I'm done working. I never want to go out at nights. And sometimes people say, oh, you never want to come out and have something to do. The reason why I want to go home, though, is just because my wife's there and I love him. Of course, you know, that's not just something I'm just saying to sound nice. The big reason, though, is that also my children come flying up to greet me each time, especially my youngest daughter. When I go in this door, she comes running from the hall. And she comes with these really interesting dance moves and stuff sometimes. It's quite entertaining. And she's just happy to see me. And when I see that, I'm really, really happy. We are God's children. And we should be able to show ourselves truly as we truly are before God, because He's happy to see us in that way. If you're looking at Genesis, you may remember that when Adam and Eve sinned, they hid from God and put leaves around them to hide themselves from God, the fig leaves. But prior to that, they had nothing and were not afraid of God. However, because of the sinning, then they wanted to hide themselves. That's because they had sin and were unable to stand before God without feeling a sense of not being accepted. As for ourselves, because of Jesus Christ and accepting Him of our Saviors, our sin is forgiven, and we can stand before God. Regardless of our emotions, God will accept us no matter what. It can be sadness, it could be anger. Could be anything. He will always let us come to Him. And we should always remember that. When I was thinking about David's dancing, there's a person that always comes to mind. And that's actually Kenichi Shibusawa. He's a missionary, actually, in New Zealand, sent from this church. Every time he comes back here, though, he's always wearing a flashy shirt and standing and dancing barefoot on the front of the sanctuary. There's, of course, this third service is shown live on the internet. And once there was a time he was visiting, there was somebody who contacted me and said, there was this weirdo, it looked like, in the front of the audience. And is everything okay? And I had to explain that, oh, no, he's actually a missionary from our church and everything's fine. And then you wonder, like, what does his wife think about who's right next to him? She doesn't say to them, you know, like, oh, you were just totally making a fool of yourselves or anything. Well, she may have certain opinions, of course, but she always is able to be encouraged by his true love of God and the willingness to show God his true self to God as he is. It encourages me to see him and realize that I truly can go to God before him, just really how I am. When we take off these fig leaves of our emotions, then we, and hiding our emotions, we can truly have know God in a much deeper way and experience him in that way too. The third point today is how God expressed his presence. In verse 15, it says, and He and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. If you think about this or try to imagine what it would have been like, the Ark of the Covenant would have been just surrounded by people singing and praising and dancing. We too, when we come before God, can celebrate and have a joyous heart at that time. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit as well. There are people who have experienced the Holy Spirit in special ways as well. And this can also lead to speaking in tongues and other things. To explain this in a different way, God, regardless of the era, is always walking with us and guiding our lives. And this is, these Holy Spirit experiences are an opportunity for us to be once again convinced of this. In the U.S., there's a pastor, this pastor by the name of David Wilderson. At the age of 27 in 1958, he was in Pennsylvania, or he lived there, and he read a New York newspaper or article about New York about a problem with youth on the streets in that area. And God really spoke to him and told him to go to New York and reach these children. He followed God's leading and went to New York to tell the gospel to the youth in that area. He had support, but and through that, and first the kids were not receptive to him, but then they started to believe in Christ. He, in the end, wrote a book entitled The Cross and the Switchblade, which has become a very famous book and a movie as well. In his book, he actually said something quite interesting. He said that believing in Jesus Christ has allowed many children to be freed of drug and alcohol addictions and so on. There are, unfortunately, some who go back to those addictions. And there is a common point between these two groups of people. One of them is experiencing the Holy Spirit. Those who actually knew God through the Holy Spirit and had a true conviction that he was real and in their lives are the ones that were able to truly overcome the various struggles they were facing. When we come before God and open our hearts to him, God touches our hearts. And at those times we can experience him. We can realize he truly is with us even now, and he is guiding us. Today, we have learned from David's experiences and seen how he is a true worshiper of God, not hiding his emotions or anything from God. And we can experience God in such a way. To have such an experience with God is something that can actually become a turning point in our faith, regardless of what happens. It really allows us to turn back toward God. I pray that God will show you that in your lives as you walk with him in faith. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. Today we've looked at David's life, and we've seen him as a true worshiper of you. Every week, Lord, we have the opportunity to come here to worship you. And the highest reason why we do so is to actually worship you. We know that you provide guidance in our lives, and we want to acknowledge that and proclaim that to you. That is why we come here. We also learned from David that he left behind his position as king and came before you, God, just as a regular person, showing his true character. At times in our lives, sometimes it's difficult to come before you, Lord, as we're trying to hide our emotions and thoughts and so on. However, we can come before you, Lord, just as we truly are, because that has been permitted by you. We are a child of you, Lord, and we know that you will accept us regardless of the circumstances or situation. We can come before you with true open hearts and experience your presence. We can realize that you truly are here with us and providing guidance to us in our lives. We thank you for this. We ask that in this coming week, Lord, that you really will be with us in a way we can tangibly feel. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you again today, praying in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll have a moment to pray together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this coming week and forevermore. Amen.